look at Luke chapter number 14. I want to begin reading with verse number 16. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets, into the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God to give us your touch and anointing. Thank you for the wonderful singing of the choir this morning and the congregation, and God for touching and blessing our hearts. So through Brother Joe Berry. And God, I need your anointing this morning. Our Father, in this vast auditorium and in the great Lord unseen audience of the internet ministry and the radio ministry, our Father, I pray that, Lord, again, not one soul would die and go to hell. Our Father, we realize that, God, that there are folk in here who know you and are saved. But yet, our Father, God, as I have been so often, and they too sometimes, we become, Lord, at ease in Zion. And God, we just enjoy the things of God so good. We forget, our Father, that God, there's a world that's lost and dying and going to hell. And our Father, sometimes, our Father, we've not been as busy about the Master's business, going out and bringing people and reaching people and seeing people saved. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost right now, oh God, Lord, as you've been doing in my heart and others, I pray, God, you'd quicken and awaken, our Father, the burden of evangelism and reaching souls for Christ. And God, in these last days, help us to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. And I pray, God, now, Lord, God, for that anointing that'll make the difference. Oh, God, I pray you'd breathe on me, and God, use me for your glory. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This week where I preached up at Brother Tom's camp meeting, some few of you been up there. It's just north of Luray, Virginia, in the Shenandoah Valley. Not far from there is a little place that they call Little Washington. It's Washington, Virginia. You go just a little further, and it's not very far to Washington, D.C. Matter of fact, a good many of people in that area drive and commute back and forth to Washington all the time to work. It's not that far. But in between where we were and there in Washington, just 40, maybe 35, 40 minutes away, is a training camp for Islamic extremists. They know it's there, and they've watched them. They're in a rural area, a compound, but the Islamic people, the Muslims, are gathering there, and they have a training camp, much like a military camp down here at Camp Lejeune or Fort Bragg, and they're training. Now, they're not training for Sunday school. I hope you understand that. They're not training, praying, and being to be a minister even of the of Islamic doctrine. They're training for war on American soil. I wonder who they think they're going to war with. In Minnesota, if you ever watch the news or Fox News this week, there's a huge training camp in Minnesota where they're training for war. They show the pictures of what they're doing. It's not a Sunday school camp. It's not a Boy Scout camp. It's not 4-H camp. It is a military training camp. And that's just a few of them. No doubt there's some here in our county and in Wake County and other places. They're across this nation. They, just this past week, there were Islamic extremists who were caught crossing the border from Mexico into America illegally. If they caught 3, I promise you, 3,000 have already come in. They are here. They're all around you. I want to share with you this morning the urgency of the hour you're living in. I have been reading devotionally for several weeks now the Minor Prophets, the last 12 books of the Old Testament. These prophets, as well as Ezekiel, Jeremiah, were sent to the tribes of Israel. the 10 tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel divided in 10 tribes to the north and 2 to the south. I've gone through all that with you. And God sent messengers to the tribes to the north. All the great prophets of your Bible preached to them and warned them that they were turning from God. They had forsaken God who had brought them out of bondage. They had become complacent. And when they become complacent, the Bible talks about the fact that they were given to idolatry. They had fullness of bread. They had pride. And they lost any consciousness of Jehovah God. And God said, judgment is coming. That went on for a few years. And then God sent the Assyrian army, took all those tribes in the north captive, and destroyed that land. The tribes to the south, that's called Judah in your Bible, and these prophets at the same time, simultaneously, were preaching to them. They were warning them, you're taking the same route the tribes to the north took, and judgment is coming. And they wouldn't listen, and they failed. And they've been dispersed for all these years until in 1948, when God brought Israel back. And once again, this week up with Brother Tom's, that Jezreel Valley that I've been reading about in the book of Zephaniah, where God allowed it to be destroyed over and over again, and it was barren land, even as early as the 1920s, when people were going in, they'd write back and said, there's nothing there but rocks. And so, but now it's blooming. Israel's there. They're planted back in their land, and they're there for a reason. God's blessing them. That nation has just developed. I was reading this morning in a magazine called Israel, My Glory, and it's talking about the conflict that's going on now with Gaza and all of that, and all that's happening that's going on in one little community there. And what they did, the extremists get in a residential area. And from there, what they do, they had sent over 150 missiles in 1 week into Israel, trying to destroy them. And they are there. They are encamped all around Israel. But what I'm saying to you is this. Notice in this passage of Scripture, as I share with you this morning, it says this in verse number 1, and a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant out at supper time, and he said unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. I want to tell you that everything's ready. And right now, everything's ready. How many of you believe Jesus Christ is coming again? Say amen. If you believe the Bible, he said he's coming again. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, but if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. And over again in the Bible, he says that. And he said this, the Lord himself should descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. He's coming back. I promise he's coming back. Now, when's it going to be? I believe with all my heart, all things are now ready. All things are now ready. Salvation is ready. There's no way you can be saved today. On Monday night at the camp meeting, I preached the first message. And the couple that was here a few weeks ago, Bob and Betty, Betty's niece came, a lady in her 50s, to the service on Monday night. And I preached, and it's one of those services where I just felt like Brother Brad. I didn't think everything went right, you know, just felt like that. But yet God moved, and Regina said that lady started crying as I finished preaching, and then she stayed under conviction the whole time. Well, another preacher preached after me, and then we went over to Brother Thompson Fellowship. We just spoke to them casually at Brother Tom's house, and they didn't stay but just a short time, and they left. And then Betty came back in the house almost just within 5 minutes, and she said, Brother Betty, can you come out a minute? And as we walked out through the living room and out towards the front porch, she broke down and began to cry. And I thought something happened to Bob. You know, he's blind. He can't see. And I thought something happened to him. And she said, Ginger, that's her niece that's in her 50s, said she got in the car and she couldn't leave. She wouldn't leave. And she said, she's out here. She said she's deeply under conviction. And when I went out, that lady in her 50s was going up and down the road right at the end of the driveway, just like that, just pacing back and forth and back and forth there. And as I got closer to her, I said, Ginger, can I help you? And she came to me, and she was weeping. And she was in such, I mean, she was just so, such an awesome conviction on her, and she felt such a weight of sin and a weight of guilt and such despair and almost hopelessness in her face and in her voice. And she said, I believe in him. I believe in God. But what else can I do? What have I got to do? I want to know that I'm saved. And I said, Ginger, the problem is so many people want to know what they can do. And I said, the problem is they don't understand it. It's already done. It's already ready. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried, rose again. He bore our sins in his body. He paid all the sin debt. And when he cried, it is finished. He'd accomplished God's plan, the Father's plan. He died for all of our sin. Now, here's the thing. It says this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He came to his own received him not, but to as many as received him. And I said, Ginger, it's a free gift. It's a free gift. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God. I said, he's already done it. The idea is you've got to receive him. And she said, that's what I need to do. That's what I want to do. And right there in that driveway, we prayed, and she was such a deep, I mean, just a gloom about it, just despair and hopelessness. And she began to pray, and she just cried out to the Lord, oh, God, save me. And before she got hardly that out of her mouth, oh, God, save me, she began to weep, but she began to laugh at the same time. And she began to rejoice and thank God for saving her. And boy, listen, I'll tell you, I had Holy Ghost bumps all over me. You could have hung a ring on. God moved in that place, and that lady trusted Christ. And all she needed to know was salvation was already ready. It's already done. All you've got to do is call on him. He'll save you if you'll call on him. Doesn't take a week. It's a birth. Thank God. I'm glad Journey and the baby's here today. Now, that she went through a time of labor, a time of conviction. That's what that lady was doing. She was going through a time of spiritual labor. But the moment the baby's born and the cry comes of life, when a person calls on the name of the Lord, the Bible said the Holy Spirit comes in their heart and that birth cry, crying, Abba, Father. Thank God. My dear friend, it's ready. Salvation's ready. And you can be saved today, but not tomorrow. I cannot on the authority of God tell you anybody in the sound of my voice can get saved tomorrow. But I can say today is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. Only today can I tell you on the authority of this book you can get saved. There may not be any opportunity for any person to be saved in the sound of my voice after today. I'm not talking about just you personally. I'm not talking about you being killed on the way home. I'm not talking about you having a massive heart attack. I'm talking about the door of grace being closed and those who've heard him, who would not respond to him, those who have rejected him but had pleasure in ungodliness, they shall all be damned, the Bible said, who believe not the truth. There's coming a day for every person in the sound of my voice. If you're not saved, the door closed. The door closed for you. No second chance, no other opportunity. Now, all things are ready, but not only all things ready for salvation, but all things ready for judgment. During the days of Noah, 120 years preparing that ark, the Bible said, God's long-suffering, God's forbearance held back the judgment of God. But just as thunderheads in the east and in the west and the south, the judgment of God was building, building, building. The Bible said that he that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth upon him. And I want you to know the wrath of God is building, building, building. You see the clouds building up, and it gets darker and darker and darker. And then all of a sudden, there's still and calmness. And if you've been out when there's coming an awful thunderstorm, you've seen it. It gets completely dark almost, and there's such a stillness. And then all of a sudden, it falls. And my dear friend, I want to tell you right now, I believe judgment is ready. Israel, before God sent judgment on Israel, like he sent the flood in Noah's day, he warned them continually over and over and over again. But while they were preaching, the prophets were preaching to them, begging them, and Jeremiah was weeping and saying, repent, please repent, turn from your sin. And they turned a deaf ear. They kept on with their business. They kept on with their pleasure. They mocked the things of God. They turned to other idols. They would not hear the men of God. They heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears because they didn't want to hear anything about judgment. That didn't mean God wasn't ready, because those Assyrian armies were amassing on the border. They were training, and they had all of their armaments ready. And when God said, go, he released and allowed them to go. And I promise you, my dear friend, where you're sitting at right now, you're sitting in a point when God's judgment is ready for America. We can repent or we'll have ruin. I promise you that. And it's coming. You say, well, we won every war we've ever fought. But it's not the way it ends up in the Bible. You cannot find America in Bible prophecy unless you see her as a descendant of England. But my dear friend, Israel's there. Russia's there. The Middle Eastern powers are there. But you won't find America there. What does it mean? It means that God, I believe the rapture may occur, but that God's judgment is going to fall on this nation just here as I'm standing here. I believe judgment's ready. Do you know that when ISIS came in, and I believe it's the city of Mosul, 4.5 million people, just like that, they took over that whole city. 4.5 million people, they control the whole city now. And it seemed like it happened overnight. You know what? I was praying up in the mountains while I was up there. I got to think about Smithfield. You know how many people I think it would take to take over Smithfield? Probably no more than 300. There are 4 major bridges going in that city. They could blow those bridges. They could attack the water source. They could eliminate power. And probably 300 people could take over that whole city. They could target government leaders, sheriff's department, other people, have some combatants right ready. And at the signal, they'd blow the bridges, they'd hit the water power, they'd hit the electrical, and they'd kill the leaders. If you think if they can take over a city with 4.5 million people, how long do you think it'd take them to take over this area? Why, you say, Brother Billy, you're scaring me. Well, I hope the God and the Holy Ghost will get a hold of our heart to understand that while we're piddling around, they're training on your soul. They're training. Is that our great enemy? Is that our great enemy? No. Our great enemy is God. He said this, he'll turn into hell every nation that forgets God. And we're going that way. My dear friend, God can stay that army. I mean, when the enemy rises, he can stop them. I was reading this week in one of those minor prophets that he said, I delivered Israel not with horses and sword and spears, but by the power of the Lord. God's power could come. I remember the story in the Bible when God moved in one night and 185 of the enemies of Israel were destroyed in one night by the Lord, by one angel. That's just how fast he could do it. But if God takes his hand off of us, judgment is ready. I believe that with all my heart. I believe judgment is ready. All things are now ready. Judgment's ready. Salvation's ready. And the Savior's ready. He's ready to save, but I believe he's ready to descend. I believe he's ready to come back. I see it almost in my mind. He said, Lord, when can I go? I believe he's ready. I believe he's ready to descend. I believe he's ready. I believe he's ready to rapture the church. But also do this, he's ready to revive. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, he's not willing that any should perish. I believe he wants to send revival. I was reading this morning in the book of Zephaniah, and in the introductory part we're talking about, it's talking about Zephaniah and his ministry. He ministered during the reign of Josiah, and there was a revival. There was a revival during the days of Josiah just prior to judgment coming. And boy, my heart began to leap. And I said, God, would you be pleased to just before the judgment falls, let us have revival. Let us see some folk get saved. Let us see God move. Let us see God move in. Notice not only that all things are now ready, I want to say a word about this servant. He said he sent his servant out. He went out to invite folk. There are 3 things that he sent him out to do on 3 different occasions. Look at verse number 17. He said, you go and say to those that are bidden, there's an invitation. Look down at verse number 21. He said, and so that servant came and showed his lord the things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to that servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lane and bring in hither. And then he says down a little bit further in verse number 23, and the Lord said unto that servant, go out at the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Spirit of urgency. There's a gentle invitation. There's this idea of going and bringing them, and then you go back and compel them. Now, I'm told that word compel means to entice or to lure or use any means you can to get them to come. But I see a progression in that. A gentle invitation. It's urgent. You go bring them, and then you compel them. Compel them. When they came to deliver Lot, he came, and they spoke to Lot, and he gave an invitation. The angels escorted them, and finally he had to just compel him to come. And Lot's wife, on the way out, turned and looked and became a pillar of salt. And I'll tell you, I believe we're in that compelling age right now. I'm telling you right now, I believe it's my dear, that there is an urgency about this thing that we need to compel people. You can't make them get saved, but I'm talking about the burden of this is go now, go quickly, the Bible said, go quickly, because time's running out. The supper's ready. Everything's ready. But my dear friend, time is running out. Time's running out. For God's people, for those who are lost, time's running out. Notice he said to those people, where the extent of that, he said, you go out to those who are bidden, then you go into the streets, into the lanes of the city, and then you go out into the highways and hedges. And that is every person. Jesus left and he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the world. And he said, now's the time. You go through all the city, go to every house, go everywhere in the city, and then in the lanes, in the little adjacent suburbs of the city. And then he said, now go out to the highways and hedges. Go everywhere. Find every person and invite them to come. Invite them to come. And my friend, that's what we are. We're in that compelling last days of the marriage supper of the Lamb and of judgment coming. And my dear friend, we ought to be in every highway, every hedge, every street, everywhere, and compelling people to come in, reaching them for the glory of God. Do anything we can to get them to come and get them to get saved, and do plead with them that they would trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that were bidden in the beginning made all types of excuses, but it did not deter the master. And he sent him out into many places, and he said, go quickly, that my house may be filled. Now, there's a certain point in time when it's filled. I do believe this. I believe there's coming a time that the last person and the bride of Christ is going to be saved. It'll be filled. Now you say, Brother Billy, what does that mean? I believe this. I believe that God has a plan, and he knows where the last person is going to be saved and when he's going to be saved. And when that last person's saved during this dispensation of grace, the Lord himself should descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ is going to rise. We're leaving out of here. The bodies of those who are saved are going to be resurrected, body and soul reunited. We'll be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. We'll meet the Lord in the air. It's coming soon. Coming soon, coming soon. And my dear friend, listen, God would plead with me and you right now. Go out quickly into the highways and hedges. Go quickly. I mean, listen, all things are now ready. It's not going to stay that way forever. And it is a crucial time. It's an important time. And it's time to do it now. We are at that point. We're at that point right now. Listen, you go out and get them and plead with them to come in, because notice the last verse. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I'm telling you, your opportunity to be saved running out. He's pleaded, and you've been under conviction. You knew you needed to be saved. You knew you needed to get right with God, and you put it off and put it off, put it off. Very soon, the last soul may be saved, and it may not be you. Very soon, the church will be raptured and you'll be left behind, and all those who are left behind who have heard the gospel will never have another chance, that they might all be damned who believed not the truth but took pleasure in unrighteousness. That day's coming. And those who had opportunity, those who heard the gospel, those who could respond, there'll be no second chances. No second chances. What kind of lesson should I draw? He said, all things are now ready. Now's the time. I'm telling you, right now's the time. Everything that's ever happened in the church age has happened in connection with the Feast of Israel. I'm not a date setter. But I do know this, that Rosh Hashanah is next week. Rosh Hashanah is the feast of the blowing of the trumpets. That's the rapture of the church. Rapture of the church. Is he going to come next week? I don't know. But I know that coincidentally, that he died around Passover. The Holy Spirit of God came at Pentecost. And why would he not come in connection with the Feast of Trumpets, when the trump shall sound the dead in Christ shall rise first. My dear friend, I promise you it's coming soon. Very soon. Now's the time. You got family members lost? You got folk in the community that you know that's lost? Now's the time. I remind you, my dear friend, that harvest time, the Lord said, say not there yet 3 months to harvest. He said, lift up your eyes. The fields are white and the harvest already. But not only should I draw from this that the time is now, but the message is urgent. Go out into the highways and hedges. You've got the only message that'll help. I would love to think that there'd be some political figure who'd come on the scene who could turn all this around, who would stand for America, who would stand for our citizens, who would stand for our freedoms, who would understand that there's some tough decisions to be made. But the people who live on this soil who are intent on destroying this nation, that this is not where they need to be. They need to be somewhere else. But my dear friend, I don't know if that's ever going to happen or not. I don't know if there's a guy in the independents or Republican or Democrats that could stand up with all the systems set in place now and all of our governmental systems, our judicial systems, that could have a real impact. But I do know this, that if you could lead one boy to Christ, you could lead one girl to Christ, one man to woman to Christ, it really wouldn't matter what happens down the road. They get to go to heaven for all eternity. And listen, all of this that we're facing now, and all this that the great tribulation, the Bible said, after the rapture of the church, there's going to be those days, and it'll be what's called the great tribulation, and except those days were short, there'd be no flesh saved. No flesh. Rivers turned to blood. The vegetation burned across this nation. Sword against sword, life, blood flowing, and the great battle of Armageddon, and that great valley of Jezreel, 20 miles long, Bible said blood will flow to the horse's bridle. Oh, it's an awful thing. But my dear friend, listen, the message is urgent that you and I have. You and I have. It's not a political message. It's not a social message. It is rescue the perishing and care for the dying. That's what it's always been. The Bible talks about plucking them as brands from the fire. Getting them saved. Getting the gospel to them. And doing all that we can to do that. I remind you, another lesson I draw from this. Some will come, and some will not. But your job is to invite them, to bid them to come. And you and I have that responsibility to bid them. Then I draw this from this. The supper's fixing to be cold. Supper's ready, but once it's over with. During camp meeting, Brother Tom is right there at his house, and Miss Judy puts out a big spread for lunch and for supper. And it's wonderful. And at night, on any of the meals I was in, we sat talking, and most everybody had gone run to get ready for church. And me and I forget who, Eric Ollis or somebody, we were one of the last ones to leave, sitting there talking a few minutes. And he took off, go upstairs, and I went through the kitchen to throw some of my trash in. And across that beautiful feast that we just had was a red tablecloth or rose-colored tablecloth. Everything was covered up. And I said, supper must be over with because it's all covered up. Can I tell you, my friend, supper's ready, but he's fixing to put the tablecloth over it, and it'll be over with. If you're going to get saved, I'd suggest you get saved today. If you're in the radio audience, the internet audience here, today's the day of salvation. He wants to save you. He's given you an invitation. He bids you to come unto him. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Whosoever will may come. But know this, that while he's pleading with you and begging with you through the Holy Spirit of God and through preachers, through the prayers of your parents and grandparents, he's not forgotten judgment. The wrath of God abides upon you, and there's a dark cloud that's building over this nation. It's building over you personally. And you don't know when the judgment will fall. You need to do it now. You need to do it now. You need to trust him now. On the other side of that, is the brevity of life. I was thinking about our good friends who went home with the Lord. I don't understand all of that. Just a few weeks ago, a young girl that Regina and I had watched here on Friday night, on Saturday, the same thing pretty much happened to her. Just that quick. You may be 70 years old. You may be 16 years old. But James said this. He said, what is your life? It's even as a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. The supper's ready. The Savior's ready. And judgment's ready. You can respond. You can make excuses, or you can trust Him as your Savior. And for those of us who are saved, we can continue to make excuses about why we don't serve God, about why we don't pray like we ought to, why we don't visit like we ought to, or why we don't come on Sunday night, or why we don't come on Wednesday night, or why we're not involved in ministry and trying to reach folk for Jesus. But when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible said every person, every man, every woman, every boy and girl who's saved will have to give an account of himself. You can't say anything about the preacher or the deacons or nobody else. It's yourself. You'll have to answer about what you did about inviting people to the supper. Will you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I've tried to obey you today. God, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the attentiveness of God's people, for those who may be in this building. Now, Father, I pray, God, that a sense of urgency and conviction will fall on them and deal with them, our Father, please, as you did with Ginger the other night on last Monday night. I pray, our Father, they'll not be able to go home, that they can't get in their car and leave, that, God, they'll have to do something. They're confronted with a holy God and His claims on their life and what He did for them. And I pray, God, that they'll trust you and know, God, that their burden and their darkness and their gloominess can turn to delight and joy and praise in Him. And God, I pray now the Holy Ghost, God, Lord Jesus, I deal with every Christian. And God, help me, forgive me, God, where I failed you. Our Father, our time is so short. Help us, our Father, in every way we can to get the gospel out. God, I pray you'd help me to redeem the time. Help me, Lord God, to be an example to the believers. Our Father, and God, I pray you'd help us to win souls for Christ. I pray, our Father, we'll not miss a boy or girl in this community, but that every person will have a chance. If judgment is coming, if the Savior's coming, and Lord, you commissioned us and you put us here to be salt and light. God, help us to take that very seriously, that God, we are responsible for the souls of men and women, boys and girls. Now, while we're praying this morning, can I ask you a question? If you died right now, do you know you go to heaven? If Jesus Christ were to come right now just to call the saved out, would you be taken or would you be left? Do you know Him as your Savior? If you do not know 100% sure that you're saved and heaven's your home, I plead with you this morning, be you reconciled to God. What have I got to do, Brother Billy? It's already been done. But the Bible does say, as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God. It's a matter of your faith, not believing about Him, not even believing in Him, but of receiving Him as your Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. There has to be a time in your life when you accept Him, call on Him, and know the Holy Spirit of God comes in your life and changes you. You must be born again, not join this church, not be baptized, but be born again. And right now, if you're in the building and you don't know that, would you pray this prayer right now, believe in God, not the words, not the magical words. I don't want to deceive you. God knows my heart this morning, but I want to encourage you to call on Him. And when you pray something like this, dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. God, without you, I'll be in hell. I have no hope. All of my righteousness is filthy rags. And God, I want to be saved. Lord, come in my heart. I believe that Jesus bore my sin on the cross and died and was buried and rose again. Lord, I receive Jesus now as my Savior. Lord, come in my heart. Forgive me. Save me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me and for dying for me. God, help me to love you. Help me to witness. Help me not to be ashamed in these last days. Help me to tell my family that they too can be saved by trusting Jesus. My dear friend, if you're here this morning, you believe that Jesus spoke to your heart, you know that you're lost and you've called on Him, I want to encourage you to come. Let us know that. Follow the Lord and believe His baptism. I'd love to see you a member of this church, but I'm going to tell you, I mean, this hour is urgent. Right now, more than anything, if Jesus comes, you need to be saved before this day is out. And I encourage you, if you didn't pray just now, do it. And dear Christians, I want to challenge you. Challenge you. You watch that Fox News. You watch the others. Watch those people who are intent on murder, who are intent on you convert or you'll die, and who are persuaded that if you already have trusted Jesus Christ, you have absolutely no hope. You've committed the pardonable sin. You will never, ever go to their paradise. I'm not interested in going to their paradise. I'm going to go to heaven because Jesus loved me and died for me. But to them, you and the Jew are targets. I trust right now that you'll get just as serious as they are about not murder, but carrying the words of life and seeing your family saved, your friends saved, and other people saved. Do everything you can. Be faithful to the house of God. You need all the prayer you can get. You need all the fellowship you can get. You need all the preaching you can get. You are encouragement when you're here. You're discouragement when you're not here. You're a blessing when you're here. You're distraction when you're not here. Some of you used to be in the choir and you're out of the choir. Did you lose your song? Did you quit loving Jesus? Is it just too much trouble to serve Him and honor Him? God knows your heart. And I'm telling you, all things are now ready. Will you stand, please, once again with your heads bowed? Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost to move right now. I pray, God, Lord, the urgency and the seriousness of the hour, God, you'll speak to hearts. I pray, God, once again, you'd purge me. God, help me in these last days to be faithful to you and do exactly what you want me to do.